wisdom right there. How many of us don't have, we all, most of us have a brother or sister or family relatives that we don't treat probably exactly the way we should. Amen. I think that's a very good job, Zane. Very good job, Josh.
Very good.
The thing that kind of bothered me about this was I think that the two families didn't want to hear me preach because they said, kids, you got to come up with something so we can get Mr. Ford out of there. But unfortunately, they left a lot of time, so Mr. Ford is going to have to do a little bit. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. And again, I commend both men, for stepping up. All our teams, I thought they did excellent. Again, we're not in our comfort zone in any shape or form, and we're trying to get into our comfort zone. So Luke 17, and we'll start out at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. We'll stop there if anybody doesn't understand. When they had leprosy back in this time, if you thought you were cured or whatever, you had to go show yourself to the priest. And then the priest, he said yes or no. So that's why Jesus, fully knowing the Old Testament, is telling them what they have to do. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And in my Bible, I have mega written underneath loud. It wasn't just woohoo. It was praise be to God. And, amen. You know, it was very, if you just got healed from a terminal illness, you would be pretty excited, I would hope. So this is where this is coming in. But verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now that's kind of a important little phrase in there too. He was a Samaritan because Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. And it showed even back then that Jesus was willing to heal anybody and everybody. He wasn't, oh, you're not a Jew, so I won't do anything for you. And it shows you the love he had for people. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, out of these 10, there was one that was only truly healed. And we look at that and we say, no, the text says that all 10 were cleansed. There was only one that was healed from his sin.
Amen.
Because, he recognized his sin. He came back and Jesus said, you are whole. Okay. Thank you. I don't know who I drank after, but. Thank you, Zane. If I have pneumonia next week, we'll understand why. But this one, Jesus said, you are whole now. You are not just healed of your leprosy. You are whole. You have recognized who I am. You have asked me for my help. I've given it to you. You get the gift. You understand who I am. We ask oftentimes, where did the other 9 go? Obviously, they were going woohoo and walking out through the woods and thinking everything was good. But they never had eternal security. They never had the peace of God. They just were healed from their thing. How many times do we do that today as we ask God for his help, he maybe answers our prayer, and we're walking away like the 9. Woohoo! I'm done with that for now. God puts us through these trials or whatever we're facing to teach us something. And if you're not learning it, it's never going to help you. You're just going to continue to, whatever it is that Satan's got a hold of you with, you're just going to continue to fall. You're just going to keep giving into it. Again, I'm not perfect because I continue to fall in many aspects of my life, but God is a very patient God, and he allows us to come back. It's amazing the love he has for us. I've said before that it is amazing to me that God knew before the earth was made, we would all be sitting here in Black Creek Church today. It just baffles my mind. But he even knew that these nine lepers would walk away, but he was still willing to heal them. Jesus hears your cry. He might not answer your cry. We talk about several times, there's yes, there's no, and there's maybe to our prayer request, to our answers God gives to us, or wait. There's not a maybe, there's a wait. That's the toughest one, obviously. That waiting one is very tough. But if you're consistent in your prayer, many people today, I said a prayer about it, so it's good. No, you got to have a prayer life. You have to be consistently asking for something. If it's for $1 million, then you can wait. You'll probably die before you get that $1 million. That's not a smart prayer request. What I'm talking about, first and foremost, if I can suggest a prayer request, would be to God to help you understand Him, His love, and His word. Without understanding who God is, without understanding His love for you, none of the rest of it's going to matter. Okay, you've got to get to that point where you understand who God is, that we have a Savior, somebody that paid a price so that we can have eternal security through Him. Eternal security is thrown out there a lot, but I can honestly tell you that was one of the major things, and it's also so associated with fire insurance. Well, a lot of people get saved just for the fire insurance. Well, I prayed a prayer, so I won't stay out of it. That's not what eternal security is about. Eternal security is about knowing your Savior one-on-one, knowing that nothing can happen to you, that you're in His hands.
That's right. Yes, sir.
It's even the one verse we talk about, He's in your hand. If you ever think about that, if you're His child, you're in His hands. There's nothing that can tear you out of that. A good test to do is put something in there, hold both your hands, stuff like that, and try to pull something out of somebody's hands that has it clasped. It's not going to be very easy to get that out of there. Add to that, it's God. You're not going to get, you're in the perfect place if you're in His control, if you're in His hands.
Amen.
Nothing's going to touch you. Nothing's going to happen to you. My wife brought up, Pastor Asquith was, or no, Dale was doing the message on Tabernacle. And he was pointing out, this is kind of off topic, but he was pointing out how when they were to set up the tabernacle, the how it was supposed to be laid out made a cross. I'm right on that, right?
Yes.
And my wife leaned over to me and said, did you ever count a cross and see how many corners it's got? There's 12 corners on a cross. Maybe you guys knew that before. I never knew that. My wife, she nudged me nice. So I'm giving her credit for it. Everybody here said I'm giving her credit for it. But every aspect of God has a reason. He didn't just come up with, that's 12 corners. That's pretty cool. God had that all laid out before we ever brought us around. He already had that planned out. If try to think of a God, and that's what I'm trying to say is think of God and His love for you. There's however many millions of people on this earth, and He knows the hair on your head, which is easier for me because I'm losing mine, but He knows the hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows the mood you're in. He knows what trial you're going through. He knows it all. He knew it before He created you. So what I'm trying to get across is think about you in His hand. If you're a saved person today, whatever that trial is, can't get to you. You're in a perfect place. Being here in a church service is the perfect place to be. We have a society which is very, you can understand why Jesus got upset in the temple and overturned the tables, because if you look at this world today, I have no idea why He hasn't come back. Everybody's living for themselves, everybody's living for their own prosperity, whatever you want to call it, their own joy, and they want nothing to do with God. It baffles my mind that God hasn't taken us out. It really has, because what He has given us in this country, and we're just throwing it away daily.
Yes,
we don't care. It doesn't fit our plan. It doesn't fit our happiness. And that's why it's such a privilege to be in a church where we hear the word of God. We hear about a God that loves us, but
Amen.
Also we should fear.
Yes,
so with that, I will end the service. Do you want to do a song? Miss Amy and Miss Ashley, you want to come up and lead us in a song?
Yeah, put them on the spot.
And we'll get an early out.
Let me tell you something. I think when the 12 runners on the cross, I resolve in the next 20 minutes, I wouldn't be mad at Ashley.
Well, you were